about a couple of songs. You gotta put it in
perspective. Do you like parties?
Yeah.
We can invite all our friends and have soda and pie.
Yeah.
I hope no bad people show up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
When we think of a name that people trust, only one comes to mind.
A man who taught us about the world. The man who picks us up on our worst days and cheers us on in our best. The man we rely on.
Joe Millionaire.
Kevin, I'm really going to need you to try a little harder. Okay, buddy?
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
That's the business we call show.
And now.
I'm not saying she's a gold digger, but she's not messing with... Who isn't she messing with?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abicho. It is Tuesday morning, the 7th of August.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey, Muggs.
Hi.
What's up?
What do you think about our new strategy of starting the morning with the Evanescence song, and then people are so grateful when our show begins?
I like it. I think it's a good policy.
People are just on the edge of their seats going, come on, this song's got to end, this song's got to end. Oh, thank God it's Kevin and Bean. Makes us look like heroes. We're not doing anything different, but compared to what they were listening to, all of a sudden we sound great. So that's our new strategy.
All right, I like it.
Oh, no.
You've got to be kidding me.
What are you guys talking about?
We just heard your fire alarm chirp.
No, you didn't. No. No, I don't hear those anymore.
You
tell me you're playing that.
I don't hear those anymore.
Tell me that's not just happening.
It's super quiet in here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, dear.
So yesterday... Yeah, I'm playing it, Ellie. You don't have to worry. It's okay. On the other side of the house. But so yesterday, I told you it's been 28 hours now that the thing's been chirping, mm-hmm. and I got a lot of email from people and tweets and the whole deal about things to try, and I tried all those things, and it's not the battery, and it's not the reset, and it's not. I did turn the power off to the whole house to try to reset it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the CO2 detector. A lot of people said that's the problem. Now, there are two other possibilities that are going on with my smoke detector. One is – oh, it's annoying to you? How do you think it feels for me 28 hours in? One is that the unit is failing, mm-hmm. that it just – the whole thing needs to be replaced, needs to be pulled out of the wall, and a new unit needs to be hardwired in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to – I don't know. I mean, I don't know any way to test that theory except to have somebody do it.
I mean, you'll get to the point where it's driving you so crazy, maybe that's what you'll try.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, and I just found this morning when I went a little deeper into the YouTube tutorials, is that it's possible that there's just some dust in the smoke detector, mm-hmm. and I need to get myself a can of that compressed air
right.
and just kind of blow it out. Because, you know, we've all had the smoke detectors go off when you're cooking or something like that, and
sure.
sometimes you can't even see anything, but there's something coming up that gets in front of the sensor.
Sure.
So maybe it's just like a dust situation, perhaps? And maybe if I blow that out, maybe that'll solve the problem?
Seems like that's a little too simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I would buy that.
Is it in your kitchen?
No. Mm. It's upstairs. You know, I'm in a double shotgun, if you know what that is. And it's upstairs on the opposite side of the house from where I am right now. I can hear it, by the way, the entire time we're on the air, but
Sweet.
It's just far enough away that you guys can't. So that's why I wanted to, you know, bring it in for you so that you could enjoy the experience.
28 hours, though, you're saying.
28 hours has been going on, yeah.
Yeah, so you know what I would have done? I would have shut off the power to my house, got mm-hmm. on a ladder, cut those wires, good night for a bit, and then called an electrician to come at some point.
And just you just would have pulled it out of the wall and planned on replacing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I would have done is turned off the power and uh-huh. then moved.
Oh, okay.
Buy a different house.
Right.
Well, that was Kevin's advice yesterday.
It
looks
was.
Like I'm going to have to sell the house.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't come back from this.
Do you have to tell the new owners that this is happening? Is
well,
this something you have to declare, write it down or something?
I feel like if they have a walkthrough,
right.
I feel like
they'll hear it.
They're going to go, nope, not doing this. Can't buy the house. Sorry. It really is. It's like living in the Evanescence song. You know what I mean? It's like 28 hours of the Evanescence song. You just, you
I mean, dream. It's worse than that. Because, oh, my God.
You dream about the minute that it ends. It's really been...
That's cute that you think there's a minute it's going to end.
Yeah, like it just runs out of steam. Okay, he's had
it. You know what? Tired of torturing him.
It would be nice if it had some sort of brain in there where it thought, okay, we proved our point now. Mm-hmm. We win.
Nope. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
All right. Do we have time for a thing or did I waste all
sure.
the time?
Thing it
up. Seriously. Do we have time for a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Does he not have the same clocks as we do?
He does.
Because he asks that all the time.
Then I say yes, and he's like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, no, I was joking.
I just want to make sure I'm not eating up everybody's time.
Well, unfortunately, now we have. So.
Okay. Have you guys caught on to new food that is sweeping the nation and is not without controversy called the Dragon's Breath Dessert?
No.
Not. You heard about this?
The Dragon's Breath Dessert.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm in.
Oh, Muggs, you've heard of it.
Yeah, it's that... nitrogen frozen like corn pops or something.
That's exactly what it is. It's usually cereal, but it can also be marshmallows, even popcorn. And it is a new sensation that's been around for about a year or so. And it's exactly what it is. They give you a bowl, like filled with cereal, for instance, some sort of frosty snack. And then it is infused with liquid nitrogen.
Which is the best. Liquid nitrogen rules.
Now, tell me why you say that. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Because it's 273 degrees below zero or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you put stuff, not that I've done it, but I had a gigantic gigantic 5 gallon tub of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you would put pour wine in and uh-huh. it would freeze instantly and you could pour
right.
out. Yes, it's amazing.
Does it sound like
I just had a banana split in right. Las Vegas mm-hmm. where they use liquid nitrogen.
Okay.
And I wanted the rest of it, and the guy wouldn't give it to me.
Does it seem like liquid nitrogen, knowing how cold it is and knowing it's what they use to freeze, warts off your body, does it seem like it's the type of thing you ought to put in your mouth, though?
I mean, not technically. You don't put that in your mouth technically, do you?
That's what this dessert is. That's what the dragon's breath is. The concept is that once you put the food in your mouth, you use a skewer so that you don't touch it. Once you put the food in your mouth, it condenses the moisture, and it looks like you are, a dragon breathing, smoke out of your mouth. So the kids love it because they've got all this smoke coming out of their mouth while they're eating. It's a novelty dessert with, fruity cereal soaked in liquid nitrogen. And it sounds fun, except all these people are getting hurt now. One girl in Florida suffered a chemical burn. She had a dragon's breath at the Pensacola Interstate Fair. She was taken to the emergency room with a burn to her thumb. She would have lost her thumb had her grandmother not gotten her to the ER fast.
Yeah.
They cut it open, cut away the dead skin, got the infection out. Because that liquid nitrogen will give you frostbite if it touches you. And people are putting it in their mouth.
Yeah, you don't have to touch it for any amount of time. Just touch.
Just touch,
a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's the best.
Another kid, it brought on an asthma attack. He has a mild case of asthma, and he ended up being in the hospital as a result of an asthma attack. He could have died had he not gotten to the hospital in time. They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you, bring your breath back or whatever. But it's probably not the best description. What's
no,
that called,
you
Allie?
Sounded you know. Like a doctor.
Bean used to be a doctor, so that's how he has all of that information right at his fingertips.
That thing that they put in kids that have asthma attacks that bring... Oh, it's the epinephrine? Is that what it's called?
Epinephrine?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so those are just two examples, but there are dozens and dozens more of kids. I mean, you can't give kids something that looks cool like this in a bowl and mm-hmm. tell them not to touch it. Or, this is... It's a complicated and dangerous food.
Yeah, it's incredibly dumb.
Incredibly dumb, yeah. But somehow it's become a thing, and it's spread all over the country, and people are like, oh, that's fun. Let's try that. So I guess what I'm saying is don't. I'm saying stay away from putting liquid nitrogen in your mouth.
I mean, that's pretty good advice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Pretty good
advice. So anyway, so now that you've heard about it, Kevin, you need to go find it,
oh,
right?
My God. Liquid nitrogen is so fun for my friend.
Do you just order it off Amazon and
sure.
just have a day with it?
We did have a day with it. Yeah, it was a 5 gallon container, and mm-hmm. we were putting in fruit, and then we put in wine, and we put in like soda and different mm-hmm. kinds of foods. Then we found like a tennis ball. We were looking around just for anything that we
a
could
shoe.
Find. Yes, just so, because it freezes instantly. It's awesome.
Right.
Well, I mean, my friend did all that.
Your friend, yeah, your dumb friend. You need to do a little Google search for Dragon's Breath dessert and see if somebody in Southern California is still selling it and get it while you can.
Oh, they're still selling it.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Beat a kid.
Animal stories. Got a brand new sesh of that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got George Christie in studio. called, he's doing a one-man show called Outlaw. He was the president of Hell's Angels in Ventura for, I don't know, 40 years or something like that?
Mm.
Insanity. So can't wait for that.
Boy, does Muggs hate this dude.
I never said
that. Yeah, Muggs
that.
Kept saying, like, oh, you thought jail was tough. Let's do this.
No. Yeah.
And I was like, Muggs, don't say that.
Muggs is going to show him what's for today when he comes in.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing you believed as a kid we're going to talk about, because we all have that. And we're going to talk to Mike Shinoda as well about his tour in Southern California. And we're going to try and fix that. And we'll be right back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Bright and early on a Tuesday morning, time for our first look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Seems like every day there's new movie pass news.
Yes.
All right, we're raising prices. Okay, you're now only able to see this many movies a month. Okay, we're not raising prices, but you're going to see fewer movies. And one thing after another.
Maybe they like the one where they said you have to wait like 2 weeks to see the blockbusters.
Right.
It's like they didn't think this through at all.
At all. And they just kept putting out releases. And then they're like, wait, our stocks are tumbling. And then they put out another release. And they're like, they're tumbling more. Maybe chill out, figure it out, then put out a release about what you're going to do.
Sure.
Here's the latest. MoviePass announced yesterday it would keep their prices at $9.95 per month rather than raising them to $14.95 as planned just a week ago. But
because
they are,
everybody probably went to cancel when they started raising the price, I imagine.
Absolutely. But here's the difference now. They're going to transition to a new plan allowing people to see up to three movies a month for that $9.95. And then up to a $5 discount for any additional movie tickets.
I've never seen a product change more as it goes.
I feel like in a few days they're just going to be like, just kidding, we're folding. We're done. Bye. It's nuts. It's absolutely cuckoo.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Let me a dumb question for you guys. I know very little about MoviePass, but how do they make money? Just by subscriptions, I assume. But who's paying them, you know? Do they have a deal with
paying them
theaters or something where they get something from them as well?
Don't know if they have a deal with movie theaters, but people are
paying
them.
You think they make enough just on subscriptions or enough people who signed up for this to make it a valid business?
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a valid business because they change every day.
Yeah.
But someone has to buy those movie tickets and pay the theaters is what I'm saying. If they're letting you get in for free, essentially, several times a month, who's paying the movie theaters, I guess, for that ticket that they're not selling? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Don't know.
Big movie.
Let's open up a blog.
Deep state big movie.
Right.
Good question.
Right? Ugh.
I'd rather you Google it.
Okay. That's a fair point, too.
We've often discussed on here how much it must suck if you're in a band, and especially a lead singer, and you're feeling like crap.
Yeah.
And you've got to go on that stage and do everything you can for people to think, well, I'm glad I just spent my hard-earned dollar on that. Imagine being Dan Reynolds, Imagine Dragons, front man. So he had a concert in Houston on Saturday, and it ended up being quite the unique experience for fans. According to the Houston Chronicle, he was unable to sing due to some sort of illness, so he asked the fans to sing for him. And then in between the songs, Reynolds would then explain the stories behind each track. So almost like a story time situation with the audience singing.
Uh-huh.
He wound up tweeting, "Houston, I'm so sorry for tonight. I thought I could sing through the sickness, but I could not, and you sang for me. Thank you with all my heart." He then went to a doctor in New Orleans who told him that one of his vocal cords wasn't moving for an unknown reason.
Oh, no.
And Reynolds said, "I literally thought my career was over." The doctor said it could be stress-related, but didn't know. There was no reason for that vocal cord just to be, I guess in a sense, paralyzed,
sort of
right?
Paralyzed, yeah.
Nevertheless, Reynolds decided to give that New Orleans show a go and was greeted with a very welcome surprise. His vocal cord vibrated, and he said, "I could sing again, and I feel so happy I could cry forever." But if you were in New Orleans, and they hadn't canceled that show, and he knew he couldn't sing, and got up there, and he's like, "Yep, still can't," I'd be like, "Mother Humper, come on, man."
That is, that's an emotional journey for Dan Reynolds over the course of a couple of days.
In 2 days to think, I might never sing again.
Yeah, that's crazy. We've seen a lot of singers who have had that vocal problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they just have to take, you know, months off or something like that, or they have to go through extensive therapy to try to get it back. It's super scary if that's how you make your living.
Absolutely. Remember, Adele had to cancel her last two shows of her tour, her big Wembley Welcome Home shows, and she was just heartbroken.
Yeah.
So was a girl that traveled to London for it. Just saying. It's just not.
Sounds pretty specific.
It's not real great, but
that's a woman for you.
That's a woman for you. Amen. I've got some news for Omar coming up. Rachel Ray could be facing a big lawsuit, so I know he'll want to
from Omar
somehow get in on that as well. And some news about you got to be real careful on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We know this. You can't post anything that could be deemed racist, homophobic, sexist, anything like that. Now, don't post about your trip with your kids to the aquarium. I'll tell you about who's in hot water for that. It's insanity, guys. It's insane. Some birthdays for you. Michael Shannon, right?
Right.
How great is he?
Right.
Right? Tobin Bell from Saw. You got anything, Tobin Bell?
No.
Saw? Nothing? Oh, my gosh.
What's happening?
Muggs did a big old like that, and there's dust everywhere.
Well, everybody was breathing sighs of relief.
Yes, but look at everything in
here
now.
There's dust everywhere. It looks like it's snowing in here.
I didn't know there was 10 years' worth of dust on top of this console. Okay.
Why did you blow on top of the console?
I didn't need to. It was just that direction.
What the?
Oh, this place is so gross.
Wow. Just pure asbestos right there coming right into our lungs.
Right.
Nice work.
Can you give us a little Tobin Bell, though? A little Saw?
You want to play a game?
I mean.
Thank you.
Worth
thank
it.
You, everybody.
Worth
thank
it.
You. Thank
now
you.
Now could I hear Alf as the guy from Saw?
Let's hear it.
You want to play a game, Willie?
Yeah!
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration.
Oh, it's so good. Happy birthday, David Duchovny and Mike Trout of your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. No,
that's
they're
right
in Anaheim.
Close enough.
Orange County is good. He's great. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
Quick reminder, by the way, the new limited edition K-Rock Gorillas sticker is available at SoCal Hot Topic locations now. How long is that going on for, Muggs?
This is the third week, the third and final week.
Okay, so definitely.
Third and final week!
Third and final!
Why do we need to yell?
It's a lot.
I got to project on the radio.
We have microphones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Definitely pick up your sticker at the Hot Topic near you, and then you can be eligible for the Intimate Show with the Gorillas for you and 50 friends, a 2019 Honda Fit, and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. KROQ.com for details. And Muggs is going to be down in Brea today from 1 till 3 with additional prices as well. Again, KROQ.com for details. All right, you guys ready for some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
There's some good animal stories in the news today. Here's one I've never seen before. I'm going to let you guys guess. You have seen posters around town from people trying to find their cat. They have a missing cat.
Yes.
You see a little picture up. Sometimes you even see posters of people who are trying to sell a cat. But it's not often you see posters from people asking to borrow a cat.
Borrow?
Why do you suppose this Oklahoma nurse put this sign up around town and also went online to advertise that wanted to borrow an orange cat? She wants to borrow an orange cat. Why do you suppose?
Huh.
She wants it for 24 to 48 hours.
Maybe she has a patient that loves cats and she wants to try and cheer her up.
That's nice.
That is nice. Why would it be an orange cat specifically, though, if you love cats?
I think that she loves Garfield.
Allie, you are correct. She wants to have a lasagna dinner with Garfield.
Wow.
For her 4-year-old and 2-year-old children
oh,
who
sure
are obsessed with the Garfield.
Yeah, no, she has
all
kids.
Right.
Uh-huh.
She has kids.
Yeah, of course she does.
They love Garfield.
They love Garfield. I see.
They probably saw, they're 4 and 2, but maybe they saw the little movie that Jimmy Kimmel did a voice for, the Garfield movie with Bill Murray. Maybe
sure.
They saw that and they love Garfield.
Right.
Will return cat happy and cared for. Cat will not be required to eat lasagna. Please, no feral cats. And please take your cat back at the end. I am not looking to adopt. Thank you.
What a weird thing to...
Isn't it?
Advertised.
And,
yes.
And she signed it, an increasingly desperate but not crazy mom of two with no friends that own orange cats. By the way, the update is she found her cat. She's picking it up in time for the party
for
this weekend.
For her kids, in air quotes?
Why do you think she doesn't have kids? That's a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Yeah. She sounds crazy.
She's crazy and just wants to have a lasagna party and hang out with an orange cat.
Yep. Whoa, this just turned very dark.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sure you guys saw this story, but if you didn't, please look for the photos online. It is so adorable. From last Friday morning, 118 goats descended upon a neighborhood in Boise. You saw the pictures, right, Allie?
I did. It was awesome.
I did.
It was
that's the best.
It's the Goatapalooza, they're calling it. And they just fanned out over this entire street. And some people weren't very pleased about it because, you know what goats do is they just start eating everything. Trees, grass, plants, branches, everything. They had escaped from the other side of a fence. There's a big field on the other side of this neighborhood, and they had been dropped off there by a company that rents goats. In fact, the company is called We Rent Goats, and it's very common.
A lot of rental cats and goats. And,
it's right to the point, though. We rent goats.
you don't have to guess what they do.
Nobody ever called them and said, I'm unclear what your business is. So this is very common, and as a man who used to have goats, by the way, I can tell you that they can decimate a lawn in no time. Mm-hmm. But these guys got out of a fence and just invaded this neighborhood. Somebody called animal control and they realized they didn't have nearly enough trucks to come out and you know, get all these goats rounded up. So eventually the business came back and said, oh, I guess our goats got out. And they were able to round them up and take them away.
They are bad.
Yeah, right, exactly. But people were just, in general, it was just so exciting to see 118 goats on your street. Nobody expects that. All right, here's one where a lady got bit. I think you'll be surprised by this one, though. Her name is Gill McMahon. She's reading a newspaper in her kitchen in Essex in Britain. The French doors are open, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she feels a terrible pain. She looks down and finds what animal clamped to her finger that she then had to shake loose as it bit her foot as well.
What?
What animal walked into her kitchen and bit her while the 77-year-old lady was reading the newspaper?
A squirrel?
Gotta be a raccoon.
Both reasonable guesses. This time around, though, it was a fox.
Fox.
It was a fox. She said, I stood up. I was screaming. I was trying to shake it off my hand, but it was holding on. I was looking at its beady eyes and its sharp teeth. When it eventually did let go, I was able to shoo it outside. She went to the emergency room and she got a splinter. My favorite part of the whole story is she now needs to go see a specialist as an X-ray showed either a splinter of bone or it might be a bit of the fox's tooth left in her finger.
What did the fox say?
Oh!
Because foxes are all over the place in Britain right now. They're a little bit like teenage hooligans, says Animal Control, and they're very curious. But it is very rare to get bit by a fox, apparently. And do we have time for one more?
Sure.
We do. Finally, two suspects have been detained after reportedly attempting to use a cat to smuggle drugs into prison.
Look, I hate cats.
Into prison.
But don't do that.
Don't do that, right?
No.
Apparently, this cat lived in the prison yard for a long time. He was kind of a prison cat. But somehow, an inmate who was being released talked the prison into letting him take the cat home to be his cat. He did take the cat home, and then he put a special collar on the cat with 7 grams of hashish and amphetamines around the cat's collar, and then went back to the prison and let it in through the fence. I guess he was like selling drugs or something to somebody on the inside. He's like, all right, just look for the cat, and the cat will have the drugs that you're paying me for.
I'm so happy, though, it was just in a collar.
Yeah, same.
Right?
I did not picture that as
totally
the
thought
area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, total drugs in the beehole, like we haven't, right?
In Russia, you picture that cat going back in there, and then somebody just has to just hang on to it and wait for it to poop out the drugs. Fortunately, that was not the case. Amphetamines and synthetic marijuana were also seized in one of the suspect's apartments, so they were able to track the cat to the inmate that took him down, which is kind of dumb because everybody knew he had taken the cat, so the cat shows up and they know it's from him. So he faces up to 10 years in prison on drug possession charges. And these have been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
I'm ride or die. I mean, that's me. You guys know that about me.
Oh, no.
You've seen the tattoo across my abdomen.
Sure.
George Christie is going to be joining us just after 7. He was in the Hells Angels for 40 years, you guys. He tweeted last night, "I have faced many obstacles in life, indictments, assassination attempts, prison. But tomorrow, now this morning, my biggest challenge, live on the Kevin and Bean Show." I guess he's heard what Beerbug's been saying.
Right? He knows it's going to go down.
So Mr. Christie's going to be joining us just after 7 a.m. That is going to be a fascinating look into a world that most of us know nothing about. That is coming up here on K-Rock.
We do have an Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day, you can leave us a message on any topic. This next woman that I'm going to bring to you left 23 messages.
No.
23.
Why?
She will explain. Okay. I'm only going to play two of them for you now.
Okay.
But she's very, very keen on getting Allie's help. She needs Allie's help.
Oh, no.
So here we go.
Oh, so hey, guys. This is for Allie, actually. I needed some girl advice. I actually should be quiet because I got this guy that came home from the bar with me, and it is 11 o'clock in the morning now. He slept over. It's 11 in the morning, and he won't leave. And you know what he said to me this morning? I tried to wake him up, and he goes, "Your bed's so comfy. Where'd it come from?" And I go, "I don't know, the bed store." And he's like, "I can't get out of it." I'm like, "Well, you should, because it's early, and get just... I don't know how to be mean, so I just walked out of the room into my living room and just let him stay there, and he's still there, and I don't know how to get rid of him. I made a pot of coffee because I thought maybe the smell of coffee smells really good to people in the morning, would wake them up."
I mean, we've all seen the commercials.
Right, sure. She got the dude, brought him home from the bar. It's 11 a.m. He will not get out of bed.
But I know she asked for Allie's advice, so she doesn't care what I think. But
right.
She has no relationship with this guy. She didn't know him 12 hours ago. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about hurting his feelings.
Right.
You go, you shake him and you go, "Hey, dude, I've got other things to do with my day today. I need you to leave." Boom. Am I right, Allie?
You'd be right if she's known him for 10 years. Yeah.
Either way, that's the answer?
Either way, that's the answer.
Well, where were you when she needed a callback?
Beat it, kid.
Beat it, kid.
Are you still in there? I need girl help. Ellie, please. Let's see what happens. This sucks.
So she needs girl help.
By the way, I'm not 100% sure how the Afro line works, but we're not monitoring it in real time to call people back, are we?
We're not so much. So if people say, "Hey, call us back," we don't really get that message to call you back.
Right.
But she did call 23 times, and every single time she asked us to call back.
Oh, no. Do you think he's still there?
However, having said that, right now, probably. Having said that, she doesn't know her own phone number.
Okay.
So that helps.
All right, guys. Kevin and Bean, Allie. Girl calling with random man still in her bedroom, trying to get rid of this random man. He won't leave, and he won't wake up. So should I leave? I don't want to leave, because I've got some nice...
She's talking about leaving her own place with him in bed.
Has she checked that he's breathing?
That he's not dead? I don't know. Mm. I'm not positive. But now she starts to think, to weigh the positives and the negatives. If I leave, what do I need to be worried about with a stranger in my bed?
Right.
Right.
If he wakes up and wants to take stuff, what do I have?
Yeah.
A newborn kitten is probably the nicest thing that I own right now. But
I'm saying maybe take the kitten with you.
I'm saying wake the dude up and get him the F out of there.
Get a taser.
Don't wake up. It is 11:40 Florida time, my time.
Oh, she's in Florida.
Oh, no. I mean, lead with that, Kevin.
How about that? I'm not the caller. This is the first time she mentioned being from Florida.
By the way, my number is 813-9... 813-66... 913302.
How many numbers was that?
I don't know, about 14. But I went back and I tried to make sense, and I wrote down the numbers, and it was like too many. Uh-huh. And it, of course, didn't work.
By the way, my number is 813-669-3302. You guys don't want to call me back. I need Allie's advice.
All right, hold. She's not done.
Maybe. I should...
Working it through in her mind.
Try to set. Turn the fire alarm on. Right?
Now, the thing that's been minding Bean for 2 weeks almost, 2 days, I mean, yep. She's thinking about using the fire alarm because hopefully that would wake the guy up in her bed. Yep, that noise.
But what's amazing to me is that the first time she called, it was 11. Now it's 11:40.
I mean, the bed is comfortable.
It's very comfortable.
That was clear.
Where'd you get it? She said, I don't know, the bed store. All right.
Pull the lighter up to one of these little battery units I keep replacing that every month.
And by the way, she can't get it to actually make noise. Bean can't get it to stop.
Right.
I feel like maybe she's your soulmate, Bean.
Maybe so.
Either which way. Yeah, call him back. Allie, tweet me back or call him back. 813-963-02. 133. I'll call back again, I'm sure. All right.
Okay, is she for real?
Do I know for a fact? No, but I have listened to all 23 of her messages, and I believe she's for real.
And you're very deeply in love, I think.
I love her. It does hurt my feelings that she follows only Allie on Instagram.
Oh, no. Do we have her at?
Not Kevin and or Bean.
Oh, no. Okay.
Because Allie's the only one she cares about,
apparently. No.
At which point I was like, all right, then. Sweet.
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Allie, what's happening?
Well, Bean, about 9 hours ago, James Corden tweeted a picture of a bunch of pages with lyrics, which appear to be lyrics to Ariana Grande songs.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande. And he wrote, "Learning These." To which Ariana Grande quote tweeted and said, "Sick, what for?" To which just 29 minutes ago, you guys, that's how on top of the story I am for you.
Right, thank you.
James Corden quote tweeted that and said, "Just, you know, life. And in case I get stuck in traffic." Carpool karaoke! Right?
Sure.
So that's exciting. Their cute little ponytail and Pete Davidson love.
Sure.
Those are still fun.
They're absolutely fun.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm as excited about Ariana Grande, but all right.
What about Ariana Grande?
Yeah, her I would be very interested in. Sure.
Absolutely.
Look, the Paul McCartney one was maybe the best one he's ever done.
Oh, that there! No one will beat Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
says the girl that said no one will beat Adele. So
right, but Chili Peppers—they actually wrestled on the front lawn of a person's house.
They sure did. They sure did.
That's a pretty good show.
It's really good. It's really good stuff. So we were talking earlier about how you have to be careful, obviously, with whatever you put on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that could be dug up later, deemed offensive, just be careful, right? Well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson learned the hard way. He's in hot water for some of his Georgia Aquarium posts. The star posted shots of himself and his family enjoying their time with sea creatures, writing he was in awe of whale sharks. He also gave the staff, who oversees 100,000 sea creatures, a shout-out, writing, "They were gracious, kind, and informative," adding, "We had a blast." Another post had him joking that he wanted to cast a beluga whale as his next co-star. What an animal this man is. What a despicable human being.
Why were people yelling at him?
People immediately chimed in with, "These animals need to be back in the ocean. Stop spreading propaganda.
Oh, yes,
this is animal abuse." It's pictures of him and his family in front of an aquarium. Just maybe... I get that people think there shouldn't be zoos, there shouldn't be aquariums. I get that. But maybe this guy isn't who you go after. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand.
It seems like there are people that are ready to jump all over anything anyone says.
Right?
That's sort of their thing.
Yeah. One of the pictures is really gorgeous. It's just like them in shadow with the big tank behind them. Bean, you're an animal lover. Yes. I can't imagine that you love zoos or aquariums.
You know, it's a very complicated issue, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. I think we all agree at this point. I think the general consensus is it's certainly no place for whales,
right?
Mm-hmm. This SeaWorld and whatnot. But I will tell you that the people who work at zoos love animals as much as anyone in the world, mm-hmm. and do everything they can in so many ways to protect those species, mm-hmm. and to ensure that they survive in the world,
to inform us of their plight.
And inform us, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, they really are. Are, by and large, really, really good people with really, really good intentions. But on the other side, I don't like seeing an elephant in 5 acres when it should be in 1,000 acres. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not a black or white issue.
There's shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Bean, that was deep. I liked it. I like what you just did. Something else I like. Britney Spears, The Who, Blink-182... A lot of people setting up shop in Vegas.
Right.
Now, Lady Gaga.
Oh.
What? This sounds really, really different and kind of cool. Beginning in late December, Gaga will present 2 unique shows from the stage of the MGM Park Theater. The first one is called Lady Gaga Enigma.
And Lady Gaga!
Indeed.
That's the announcer right there that brings her out.
God, I hope it's not for everyone's sake. This one is being called a brand new odyssey of her pop hits built as an experience unlike any other. So if you want to see, this sounds like full stage show, like incredible. You're going to see quite the performance up there. And then only 4 dates so far for this show. It is called Lady Gaga Jazz and Piano.
What will Lady Gaga do to entertain the world?
It's stripped down versions of her hits as well as music from the Great American Songbook. Okay.
Wow, that's not a good choice.
That's a great choice.
That's
what I meant.
Choice.
It's a great
her
choice.
Her piano doing stripped down versions of her songs and then doing classic songs.
Have you
jazz
heard
music
her voice?
Loves?
Right.
Her voice is incredible.
Yes.
That would be unlike anything you've ever seen from her. Anywho.
Because there have been other tours, Kevin, where you can see her doing the singing and dancing and doing Born This Way and Poker Face.
Right.
It's
right.
A chance to see something like an unplugged performance.
Right.
Right.
I'm with the girl. I think that's the one to go to.
Yeah, I'm going
to
mark Kevin off as a no on Lady Gaga jazz and piano, though. All right. Well, the residency is set to stretch across 2 years. A fan pre-sale starts tomorrow, and then a public on-sale is going to follow on Monday the 13th.
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. Why did you change your name? How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Good question.
Well asked.
Yeah. Great question. We talked yesterday about Ludacris paying for that woman's groceries at the Whole Foods.
Yeah, that was a great story.
A lovely, wonderful story.
She didn't know who she was. She didn't know who he was.
No, she asked his name because he was just such an angel. She was having really hard times. He had no way of knowing that.
Wound That's up a great story.
$375 worth of her groceries.
Not everything is bad. Not all people are bad.
No, she said, "What's your name?" He said, "Chris." She hugged him, cried. It was beautiful. Well, how about this? A New Jersey woman thought she was just helping a down-and-out man pay for his gas station food. This was at the Medford Wawa in New Jersey. And turned out that she wound up helping this guy pay for some snacks. And he thanked this woman, said, "Yeah, my name's Keith." She said, "You look like Keith Urban." He said, "Yeah, I am."
What?
And she then turns to the big guy with him, turned out to be his bodyguard. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Is it really Keith Urban?" He's like, "Yeah, it's Keith Urban." And then they took pictures. Everything was great. Which begs the question, why didn't you have money for snacks at a Wawa?
Right.
And why didn't your bodyguard?
Neither of them had money?
No.
That's weird.
Is that how he stays rich? I'm just everywhere he goes. He's like, ooh, just reaches in the pocket.
Oh,
like,
oh, I forgot my wallet.
And then a nice substitute teacher from New Jersey is like, "I'll pay for it."
Sure.
It's weird, right?
That is weird.
That's pretty strong.
It's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go into the Wawa if I don't have any money. I just think, well, yeah. I can't buy anything because I don't have any cash.
That's why you're not a millionaire.
Exactly.
Like Keith Urban.
Yeah. Exactly.
He knows what he's doing.
He seems like a very nice man, Keith
Urban. He certainly does. And Australian.
Sure.
Who's so, that? You know what that means.
No, what's that mean, Ellie?
He probably saw the movie Chopper.
Speaking of Choppers, by the way.
Yes.
Mr. George Christie in the next room, ready to come in. You ready, Muggs?
I didn't say anything.
Is it going down?
No, it's not.
You said Banditos Forever.
No,
I heard it.
I did. I heard it.
I mean, you said it. Yeah. I don't know why you'd be.
It was weird. Like how adamant you were, and you puffed out your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And you yep. yelled, "What now, bitch?" I mean, it was weird. He's going to kill Muggs. Some birthdays for you. David Duchovny. Charlize Theron. Theron. No one knows. Tobin Bell. Michael Shannon. And Mike Trout. From your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That's what's happening.
Look, I just want to point out the beer mug. This guy right here. He's the guy that was saying everything.
Banditos Forever. I heard it right out of your mouth.
I did not say anything,
and he was
George.
Mouthing off about you, George, and I just want you to know who it was so that you don't think it was me.
Now, who was mouthing off about me on the air? It was him as well?
It was him as well, yes.
That was all beer mug.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
So I can have a couple of minutes with him alone later.
Please.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you.
Please
I appreciate
do.
That.
Man.
That terrifying voice is George Christie. He has a one-man show called Outlaw that's currently showing starting Thursday, right?
It started last Thursday, actually.
Okay.
So we've done two shows so far, and then Thursday night will be another performance, and then Sunday matinee.
Okay. And this is you on stage. The show is called Outlaw. This is you recounting your life story and your 40 years in the Hells Angels here in California.
Yes, it actually goes beyond that. It actually starts with me in a courtroom talking about my experience and then a flashback to the mid-50s, which was the first time I ever saw an outlaw motorcyclist. And
it was love at first sight for you, wasn't it, George?
It was, and beyond.
What was it about seeing those guys in those get-ups on motorcycles that captured your imagination as a young man?
And do they call them get-ups?
Well, I was going to make a comment about
okay,
that.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can call it a get-up because you're not here.
Right.
Okay. What do you prefer? About those costumes that you were so attracted to?
Yes, I like the term costume better than get-up. I do like that better.
The outfits they were wearing. How about that?
Does this make me look fat?
Did it just make you want to be a badass? Was there an element of a danger and excitement? Or
yeah, all of that. But I'll tell you what happened was this guy sat there at the stoplight. And everybody was mesmerized. And after the guy left, everybody started talking bad about him. And I thought to myself, well, you sure the hell didn't say that while he was here? And that kind of triggered something in my head. And this guy standing on the corner that was talking to my dad that really got upset, he actually spit on the ground, looked at me, and told me, he goes, that's your America. And I thought, damn right it is.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay, so you saw it just as the guy on the motorcycle, or do you see it as the club? You wanted to be a part of the club.
I saw it as an outlaw on a motorcycle. And then as I got older, I went in the Marines, and I came home, and I was kind of bored. And I started hanging out with this 1% motorcycle club. The 1% were the
super rich?
No, they
they're really
you got
nice.
Confused.
Okay.
They were the 1% that ruined it for the wholesome riders, according to the American Motorcycle Association.
Oh, okay.
And those are the guys I gravitated towards. It was a club called the Question Marks that was endorsed by the Hells Angels locally in Ventura. They introduced me to the Saint and Slaves, and the Saint and Slaves took me up to Kern River, and that's where I met the Hells Angels, and I met Old Man John, who was the president of the Los Angeles Hells Angels.
There's no story that involves something called the Saint and Slaves that ends well for anybody, George. Come
on. Well, I'll tell you, they were a tough bunch of guys, and, when I started hanging out with them, my dad warned me. He goes, these guys are real outlaws, don't you? And I said, well, why in the hell do you think I'm there?
No dad wants to hear that, though.
No, they don't,
So, George, if people hear the term Hells Angels and they don't know much about it, but they have a negative connotation with the group, that's fair, right?
Well, I think that is fair. And, I think that the Altamont concert solidified that, You know the whole story behind that. The Rolling Stones,
right?
Yeah, they wanted to do that concert at Altamont, and I wasn't there. I don't want to pretend I was, but some of my close friends were there. I was in Southern California. That was in Northern California. But how it came down was the Stones said, we want to put on a free concert on the West Coast, kind of do a Woodstock-type deal. And they called the Grateful Dead, his manager, Rock Scully. Said, well, who's going to do a security? How do you guys do these concerts in the park? And Scully says, get the Hell's Angels. They'll do it. They always do it for us. And the rest is basically history. And
who don't know, one of the Hell's Angels ended up knifing a concert goer to death. And that's why that has become... the legend of the Rolling Stones and the danger, and that kind of solidified in a lot of people's minds what the Hell's Angels are all about. What was their explanation for why they did it? I'm sure it was not anyone's intention that day to kill it.
Well, let me tell you, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand or don't know. Meredith Hunter, the young black man that succumbed to the knife wounds that day, was pointing a gun at the stage. And it's on film. You can see the gun. Alan Pizarro, saw him and immediately reacted, which, the Rolling Stones anticipated we would do if something aroused or arose. And so Alan stabbed him. He died. There was a big court battle after that. And Alan got found not guilty, justifiable homicide. And then we presented a bill to the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. They owed us, money for legal fees. They said they'd cover the legal fees.
And they paid it right away?
No, they did not. Keith Richards wanted to pay it. Mick didn't think they should pay it because we, dirtied up their name.
Yeah. And Mick is very cheap, too. He's enormously frugal.
Well, you're telling me.
So were you the collector, George? Were you the guy that had to go after the Stones for the money?
Well, there was a little crew that had decided to send a message to Mick by blowing up his yacht. And,
man.
Oh, my goodness.
This escalated quickly.
All right.
Wow.
That whole story was exposed by one of the guys that became an informant, and we received a check for $50,000 shortly after that.
And then he billed you for the yacht, and it's still going on.
And we're not going to pay for the yacht.
George, you have been to prison as a result of your time in the Hell's Angels.
Three times.
What were you convicted of? Because I like you, and you seem like a nice man, but I'm trying not to be too captivated because I feel like you're also a bad man.
Well,
are you a bad man?
I was told by a judge, you're very seductive, Mr. Christie. and, that very well may be, but I'll tell you, the first time I got arrested was in 1986, and it was for a murder that never happened. I spent a year in Terminal Island Prison, and I got found not guilty.
That was during the trial? That's why you were in jail?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I had no bail on my... and back then, they didn't have the detention center in downtown L.A., so you went straight to Terminal Island Prison if it was in this district. Okay. So I spent a year down there.
And you were innocent of that?
I was found innocent. And then in 2001, I got indicted on a 59-count state racketeering charge. And that case kind of collapsed under its own weight. And I spent a year in solitary confinement fighting the case. And they dropped 57 of the counts, and I pled guilty and got time served. I pled guilty to conspiracy and tax evasion. Okay.
Why were you in solitary confinement if you were fighting the case?
Because...
For your own safety?
They didn't want me manipulating the inmates at the prison. They felt that I had enough sway as a shot caller.
Seductive.
Very seductive. Mm. So you already picked up on
it. I got it.
Allie's falling in love, in fact. Well, all right. What was the third time you were behind bars, George?
The third time was in 2011. That was an 8-count indictment. And that was 3 mandatory minimums of life, count 6, 7, and 8. The use of arson and commission of a crime. And the case, my daughter was one of the lawyers. My oldest daughter is also my criminal lawyer. And she was
It's good to have one in the family when
you're
you.
Very good, yes. It was the best investment I ever made. And, she chipped away at it along with Michael Mayock. And ultimately the judge I thought he was siding in with us. And he told the United States attorney, he goes, this case isn't what you want. you want it to be the case of your career, but it's not going to be because you're going to have to come to terms with that. And I thought, well, I'm going to beat him again. And then he looked at me and he said, and you, Mr. Christie, God only knows what you've gotten away with the last 40 years.
Hmm.
And he goes, I want a plea agreement reached ASAP. And it had been going on 3 years almost. And it was time to make a deal, I guess. So he, although he didn't have to, he gave me 2 years credit for house arrest. I was on house arrest 2 years when we were fighting the case. And then he sent me to Texas, to prison, the La Tuna prison in Texas for a year. And it kind of reminded me of coming here today. You know,
is that right?
You had to go to the gate, get admitted. Right? And,
what about the interior, though? It's not the same.
No, this is much better.
Okay, good.
But you blew something up, though, right? I mean, you did it, right?
I did. Well, you know. And I wanted to tell the judge this, but the lawyers went crazy, especially my daughter. She really chastised me. I said, well, let's tell them I had nothing to do with it because it wasn't done properly.
Oh, jeez.
Had I done it, Your Honor, it would have really been better.
That's right. We have to take a break, George. Stand by, please. The one-man show is called Outlaw. By the way, people, if they hear that word outlaw associated with your name, it may sound very familiar because you had a show on TV for a long time about this, too, right?
Outlaw Chronicles on the History Channel.
History Channel, right. Yeah. One-man show, you can go to georgechristieoutlaw.com if you want to get tickets for Sherman Oaks. More with our guests when we return right after this on camera.
George Christie is in the studio with us.
He is a former Hell's Angel leader, and we are learning a lot here this morning. I'll tell you that. I want to go back to 1 second to the end of the last segment here, George, when you're talking about the various times that you've spent in prison. I was surprised to learn from you that being in prison, there's no such thing as gang warfare between motorcycle gangs behind bars. Explain that to me, please.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In 1986, when I got to the prison, there was a senior member in there, and I said to him, I go, who do we have a problem with in here? And he laughed. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, we don't fight in prison. And I said, what about the guys we have problems with? And he goes, yeah, they're in here, but we don't fight with them. And I took that philosophy from the prison, and when I came home in 1987, I wanted to apply it to the streets. So, you know, for many, many years, up into the mid-2000s, I went and petitioned other bike clubs that we had issues with to put our differences behind us. You know, we stopped shooting at each other for long periods of time. But
they,
you know,
need you to get in on some of the, you know, this gang violence that's, you know, rampant across Southern California and Chicago and other places where they just refuse to let those feuds die.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just talked to a friend of mine who is a he's now home. He was in prison. He's a counterfeiter. He's probably one of the premier counterfeiters in the United States. When the United States said nobody can counterfeit this new $100 bill, he took that as a challenge.
And of course.
Of course, he did 7 years for it. And he is doing a lot of stuff like that. Him and I have been talking, and I may go to Chicago and try to work with some of the city fathers there and talk to them about putting this gang violence behind them, because they're only hurting themselves.
Yeah.
I know this is
no winners.
I know that this is probably a very complex answer, but if you could quickly explain, how do you get out after you're the leader of Hell's Angels?
Well, I'll tell you, I actually had a judge that I've known for years after I left the club, and there was all kinds of rumors flying. He came up to me and said, well, how do you leave the Hell's Angels, George? And, you know, my reply to him was very carefully. And, you know, I left. I went to the meeting. I explained my situation, that people, as a leader, I didn't think anybody was sharing my vision anymore and that I was going to walk away.
And how was that met?
At first, it seemed like they were willing to accept it. And then a couple of weeks later, some of the leadership felt that I had got weak. I was soft. I had deserted them. And then the character assassination started, that I was an informant. I was this. I was that. And, you know, I took all that in stride. I thought it was kind of interesting that a club that was supposed to shroud itself in secrecy took to social media to shame me.
That is odd.
So you left in good standing, and then you were gone for a few weeks, and all of a sudden
2 weeks later, I got a phone call. I was told, you know, your status has changed. And I said, really, my status has changed? And they said, yeah, you're out in bad, no contact. We don't like you. We don't want anything to do with you, and no one's allowed to talk to you.
So it's like a church excommunication where they can no longer acknowledge your friendship.
Well, I think you put it very well right there.
Wow, that must have been, I mean, that was your whole adult life. That must have been heartbreaking to lose that companionship that you had enjoyed for so long.
Well, you know, it was really hard to take. You know, I had decided, you know, it took me 2 years to make that decision. And I felt if I had stayed in, it would have strictly been because of my ego. And I, you know, mustered up the nerve. I walked into the meeting and, you know, nobody said anything and I left. But, you know, I'll tell you, it prompted me to do the television show, prompted me to write my books. I have 3 books that I've written, and it prompted me to do the stage show. So, you know, maybe that was what I was supposed to do. I don't know. But
did you ever worry about somebody coming after you and trying to hurt you?
Well, when your number's punched, your number's punched. I always figured that, and I've always felt like that. I'm not trying to sound cavalier or challenge anybody. That's just always been my philosophy.
George, so you don't worry about it. It's maybe possible, but you don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't worry about it. I don't lose any sleep at night. But, I do think about it. I think about the safety of my wife. You know, I have a wife that's much younger than me. We have a 15-year-old son. And, you know, my concern is for them. It's not for myself. I mean, I lived that, you know, cavalier, provocative lifestyle for 40 years. So I'm used to the things that come along with it. But I would hope that, you know, people would leave that out.
When you tell your 15-year-old that he needs to do what he's told, does he ever go, hey, Dad, you were, you know, Hell's Angels leader for 40 years?
My son is a very interesting guy. He's completely opposite of me. And I came in one day. I was really excited. The History Channel was having a – they were showing reruns of the Outlaw Chronicles. I said, they're having a marathon this weekend. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Dad, you're just a rerun.
Oh, oh, man.
Ouch.
I mean, Mug said a lot worse about you, but still.
Sure.
George,
I
know we're going to run out of time. This is such a fascinating conversation because we knew nothing about this. But what's the state of, you've been gone a few years now, what's the state of the Hells Angels in California in 2018? Is it still a popular and powerful entity? Is it still involved in a lot of the things
always will be a popular and powerful entity. I think that, you know, they are under a lot of scrutiny. You know, the first, and I'll close with this if we're going to stop this. The first prosecution was in 1979 for racketeering. That's the first time the government looked at us as a criminal organization. And it was a very young prosecutor who happens to be in the news today, Robert Mueller.
No kidding.
No kidding.
So there you go.
Wow. Know. Wow.
When Robert Mueller comes after somebody, he comes after.
would you urge young people today that may ask you this question about whether they should join a motorcycle gang to stay away from it, or do you think it's a rewarding lifestyle?
No, I don't think it is what it was when I walked into it. You know, it's certainly changed a lot, but that's a decision, you know, these young men are going to have to make for themselves. You have to understand, when I got involved in the outlaw bike culture, you had to build your motorcycle. You couldn't go into a Harley-Davidson shop and buy a custom motorcycle. So the people involved, their basis for being involved in that culture was motorcycles, brotherhood, building motorcycles, riding motorcycles, and understanding everything about your motorcycle. Nowadays, you go in. I bought my first motorcycle for $200. You can't even get the oil change nowadays for $200.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that should put it all in perspective.
It sounds like a fascinating onstage talk, you guys. It's called Outlaw. It's George Christie's one-man show. It's going on at the White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks again this week, Thursday night, Sunday, and then next Friday as well. You can go to GeorgeChristieOutlaw.com. We'll also post that on the Kevin and Bean social media, too, if you don't remember the name. Tickets on sale now for just $25 for that. Fascinating, fascinating interview, George. Thanks so much for,
for having me
bike down here today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
All right, this is Radio Whiplash. We're going from George Christie.
Right? Hell's Angels.
Hell's Angels leader for 40 years. Two, Mug's getting his back waxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened.
That did happen.
What's up for everybody today? This is the last bit of leftover business from the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool singles party in Las Vegas over the weekend. We talked a lot yesterday about the bus and about Mugs on the mic and about the great people at the party and the wonderful time we had at the Planet Hollywood. But the one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about, and how did it even come up that Mugs was going to get his back waxed in public? Why is that the type of thing he didn't do before he went to the pool party?
Oh, go ahead.
Look, I was so busy. You know, I'm a dad, and I have a lot of things going outside of work, believe it or not. I wanted to be pool ready for the singles party in Las Vegas, and I wasn't feeling very comfortable with this patch of hair that I had on my upper back.
patch of hair on his upper back.
On your upper back.
Yeah, right.
So there's a much, patch.
It's not as much a patch as it is an 11 by 14 carpet.
Sure.
It's a lot of hair, Mo. You're a hairy dude.
I am
and
hairy
by
guy.
Upper back, your whole back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get, you know, take care of that. Look presentable for all the beautiful people that were hanging out at the pool at Planet Hollywood.
So I get a text. Hey, you want to help wax Muggs' back?
Mm-hmm. Nope. And I hope you wrote back, new phone, who dis? And by the way, this might be a good time to ask, since assistant producer Christine is in here, I want to ask you as well as Allie, women are not down with the back hair, right?
I mean, like, it's not preferable, but at the same time, it's like, you know.
And I think most guys have hair on their back.
Yeah,
it's I'd rather have a little bit of hair than those dudes that are like, ooh, I'm slick as a seal. All right, that's creepy as hell.
And those guys who take every piece of body hair off of them are weirdos.
Yeah,
right?
The guys who shave their body and stuff, it's like, I don't like that.
No.
I can handle some body hair, but...
Listen to Muggs.
Shut up, Muggs.
We're asking the girls.
If you're an Olympic swimmer, go ahead and shave. Otherwise, stop it, right?
Right.
All right, so what happens? So Muggs decides he wants to get his back waxed. How does this become your problem, Christine?
I don't know. Did I draw the short straw?
I mean, I sort of feel like you did.
And I think I was just trying to be helpful because Muggs was like, this patch is really bothering me. And I was like, you know what? I'll help. Allie said, okay, I'll come and film this because
I'm not leaving her alone in there.
Yeah, I know. And I really appreciated that. Uh-huh. So I think Allie and I were both surprised when we started the process. Muggs took off his shirt, and the patch wasn't so much a patch as it was a field.
Patch.
There's that.
And he kept saying,
patch.
I'm not so worried about the bottom because I don't have any hair there. And we were like, I'm not sure what bottom you're talking about, but I don't want to see that part that doesn't have hair. Because the entire top to bottom of the back was carpeted with hair.
Oh, he's a grizzly bear.
Completely.
I am.
Absolutely.
Here's a little bit of the audio of what was going on.
When you hit a Vegas pool, especially the Planet Hollywood right here, you want to make sure that you're, you know, up to code. For me, it's my back. Not really so much in the lower part, but it's the upper region. Got a little bushy over the years. So if, Christine, you want to take these little Veet strips and clean me up, I'd really appreciate that.
This is so not what I signed up for, you guys.
I mean, come on, Christine. You've done some really crazy stuff.
This is up with, like, helping Muggs with the garters.
Sure.
When he had a dress as a sexy cop once. This is right up there for me.
So. The
Britney Spears costume.
Sure.
Yep. All of
Forget
it.
Forget my ignorance, but how does one go about waxing a back these days?
So they had these. We were really surprised. Allie was saying, there's no way this is going to work because... Mm-hmm. Usually you need a hot wax situation, and we weren't going to mess with that at the hotel, but they had these Veet strips that were, you just kind of open them up and stick them on the hair, and we were like, that's just not going to work.
Mm-mm. No way.
And?
Shockingly good.
Really?
It ripped everything off.
I will say this, though. For most people, it might take 1, 2, 3 tries for it to work.
Okay.
Christine is literally rubbing it in the direction that the hair grows. She was a pro at this. It was concerning how good it was. And then every time, no.
Yeah.
She was rubbing
She was doing everything right. And then she'd rip it off, and we would just marvel at all of the hair on that strip.
That seems bad.
It was shocking.
How clean it looked. It looked good afterwards.
All right, here's a little bit more.
All right, so here it is, ladies and gentlemen. The problem area. Right here.
Oh, wait. Muggs, is that...
I'm not really comfortable with that. You know what would be nice? If I could take some of this right here, put it over here and here.
We're going to need some more strips.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Good times.
I didn't mean that.
When you started pulling the tape off of Muggs, was there a...
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Moment at all? Did that happen?
Are you asking if he said that exactly? Is that your question?
3, 2, 1.
Fuck Kelly Clarkson!
I didn't know.
That's a strange question, Bean, but yes.
Yes, he
did. Yes, that happened.
But I want to thank Christine. She did, like, the most amazing job in... this is a procedure that you pay like top dollar for in a lot of.
So how much did you tip her?
Well, you know, I dropped my towel afterwards to get a little.
Nice.
Wow. That tip. Wow.
But she didn't finish my lower back.
You asked, you told her not to.
There was no problem.
But I did realize shortly thereafter that there was
so
no
here's
problem.
The thing. It's perfect because from about half of his back up, yeah, no hair. Great. There's a straight line, and then there's just hair.
Yeah. So
it's the best look ever.
Christine, give me one. Give me another one of those. Give me.
I deserve a raise for this, you guys.
Actually, you do, yeah.
I'll give you a little payment. But no,
look, let's take a break because Dave is suggesting that we Instagram live it so that people can play along at home.
No, sweet. I like it.
Play
and see mugs get us.
You guys don't want this, trust me.
When you say play along at home, what are you hoping
for? The team, you guys.
Okay.
Sacrificial lamb.
So are we going to do it while we're playing commercials and a song in the next studio?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's
Instagram live.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm not.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
That was a lot of hair, you guys.
Right?
Coming off a fur mug. That was a lot of hair.
Fur mug.
Too much.
I'm sorry the listeners have dubbed you fur mug. What's the dumbest thing you ever believed as a kid, you guys? That was trending this week on social media. I think there's a discussion there. We'll have that coming up right after 8. And then our friend Mike Shinoda joins us next hour as well. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Tuesday morning.
Well, thank you to everybody that just tuned in to Instagram Live. Mm-hmm. And you got to see a little bit of what I got to witness through a camera over the weekend as Christine waxed mugs. And he actually said these words.
3, 2, 1.
Bye, Kelly Clarkson!
Just like in the movies, it's good stuff, which leads me to some Kelly Clarkson news, you guys.
Wow.
She is filming a pilot for a daytime talk show. It It could debut sometime next fall. What? Here's the thing. This article says she certainly has the experience necessary for such a gig. She joined NBC's The Voice as a season 14 coach, and she hosted the 2018 Billboard Music Awards.
So that's
apparently enough to get a daytime talk show now.
Odd.
I will say this about Kelly Clarkson. Extremely personable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Agreed. She's just friendly and good, and you kind of gravitate towards her. So for daytime TV, I feel like she's actually someone you would want to watch.
All right.
Right?
Sure.
And then she could wax people during a segment and they could all yell out her name. I think that would be absolutely phenomenal.
3, 2, 1.
Bye, Kelly Clarkson!
Have you guys seen this movie, Eighth Grade, has been getting all sorts of love across the board. I want to see it too. Here's the thing. It is rated R, and a lot of people are saying this is a movie that eighth graders should be seeing because it's all about them and their trials and tribulations and the struggle of being young. But it's rated R due to some sexual content and the use of the F word quite a few times.
Mm.
And God knows eighth graders have never heard those words.
Right?
Or dealt with any kind of sexual content. Here's what's happening on Wednesday night, though. 51 theaters in every single state across the United States are going to have free screenings of the movie and suspend the age limit. So if you're under the age of 18, you do not have to be accompanied by an adult.
Nice.
Which is pretty darn cool. Oh, wow. The movie here in L.A. that you could see on Wednesday, being eighth grade, you could see it at the ArcLight Hollywood. They're the ones here locally that will be participating in this, which is pretty darn cool. A free screening and suspending the age limit.
Hell yeah.
Yep. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen.
Ha-ha. Uh-huh.
Check that out. Please stop.
Why?
Right?
In a new interview, Dave Bautista said he's willing to quit the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise entirely if Marvel doesn't use the script that James Gunn recently completed for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Wait, so he's not saying if James Gunn isn't reinstated, he just wants to use
the
script that
he wants to make sure that it's still the script that he had completed.
He
doesn't want a brand new script in there. He says, this is the quote, where I'm at right now is that if Marvel doesn't use that script, then I'm going to ask them to release me from my contract, cut me out, or recast me.
really sad.
I'd be doing James a disservice if I didn't. Nobody's defending his tweets, but this was a smear campaign on a good man.
Super sad.
He has been one of, I would say, the most outspoken of the cast. They, of course, all sent out the same release saying that while we don't condone the tweets in any way, this was an attack, essentially, a cyber attack.
Right.
Which he says by, where's that quote exactly? It's because it's...
Hold, please.
Seriously.
The effort that got him fired was a cyber Nazi attack that succeeded.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you... You can ask, obviously, to be released from your contract, but Disney doesn't have to.
I don't
to.
Think they have to, right? I don't know.
By any means.
You're right.
Okay.
Thank Good. You.
Moving on.
Okay. Wow. Done with that story.
Got it. Moving on. How about a LeBron James story?
Yep. There it is.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. LeBron James Spring Hill Entertainment has steadily grown into quite the enterprise in the world of filmmaking and entertainment. The latest is a partnership with Showtime. And a not-so-subtle jab at critics that have told LeBron to shut up and dribble. It's a documentary film titled Shut Up and Dribble. The series will trace the history of the NBA players from the merger with the ABA to now and how players grew their off-court brands and platforms. It's going to be a three-part series that premieres in October.
That's
it's pretty
right.
interesting to look at this ever-changing role of athletes in political discourse, just the landscape of politics.
Obviously.
So LeBron James going to be heading that one up with his Spring Hill Entertainment.
Hmm.
What do you think about that, Rodney?
Bigot.
No, he's definitely
so.
Not a bigot.
Crybaby.
Well, a lot of people might agree with that on the court, but I'm
Look,
not sure.
Here's my whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And I've said this a million times, not only about the athletes, but about the singers, about the actors, all the people that they tell to shut up and sing or shut up and act or shut up and write or shut up whatever. Every American has a right to his opinion. You don't not get to express your opinion because of the job that you have.
I don't pay for your music to hear your opinions.
It's
what about
so,
those people?
It's so dumb to me that if the guy who drives the trash truck down your street can talk about what he thinks about politics, that Adele can't talk about what she thinks about politics.
I don't throw out my trash to hear your opinions.
Right. It's just dumb, you guys. So shut up and dribble is dumb.
It's pretty dumb.
I'm with LeBron on this one.
I don't know if he needs you on his team.
No, he probably does.
But he does?
Probably.
Okay.
I assume
All right.
so, yeah.
Good stuff. I don't understand this whole situation with Johnny Depp's upcoming film. It's about the murder investigation surrounding Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. City of Lies. It has now been pulled from the schedule a month before it was set to hit theaters.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be released on September 7th. No new release date has been set, but a source told The Wrap that the studio chose not to put the movie out right now and put it on hold because marketing a film with Johnny Depp as a star is too challenging right now.
Wow. That's all you need to understand about it. He's just become toxic because of so many things that have come out lately since the Amber Heard thing broke and then all the revelations from the Rolling Stone interview. People just don't want to be in business with Johnny Depp anymore, with the exception of
J.K. Rowling?
The Harry Potter movie, yeah, which is, I guess, because he has a minor part. He's not the lead in it.
And all the pirate movies?
Well, I'm saying since all this has come out, though, is what I'm saying. You know,
yeah.
I think the circumstances have changed for Johnny Depp in the last few months, is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they'd want to put out a Pirates movie now, either, right now.
Right.
He's a little bit
I
too
don't know.
Hot to handle.
I feel like if it could make some money, they sure as hell would. Oh, the world is funny. Some birthdays for you. Tobin Bell. Kevin?
Please,
if you could.
You want to play a game?
And if people missed it earlier.
Come on.
Tobin Bell as Alf.
You want to play a game, Willie?
Very good.
I don't think people understand your
That's all
Alf.
I have.
It's just magic. Happy birthday to Mike Trout, Michael Shannon. Did I say David Duchovny? Well, I'll say it again, David Duchovny, because, right? Who's
right.
with me? Ladies, men, anyone? That's what's happening.
That song always reminds me of the LA Kings, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Sure.
June 11th. It's a day that will go down in infamy. How do I know that? June 11th, day before my birthday. My birthday's June 12th.
Okay.
Why it's a huge deal.
I don't know what just happened.
Wasn't it good news that the Kings won the Stanley Cup?
For us.
Yeah, but why is it a day that lives in infamy then?
Talking to all the other people listening.
Listen. Hey, you guys, very special visitor to K-Rock here this Friday. It's our friend Bishop Briggs. He is going to be in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. If you want to win passes, you can. We've got them for you this hour on the Cabin of Beach. It's going to be hosted by Stryker. You'll be able to watch it at krock.com. She is a wonderful performer, and you will have a very good time. That is coming up. First, though, Allie, I missed this at the time, but a couple of days ago, the dumbest thing I believed as a kid was happening all over the internet. How come?
Somebody just tweeted, what's the dumbest thing that you believed? And then the hashtag, dumb things I believed, started mm-hmm. going around. And I laughed my butt off at some of these, and then some that I was like, wait, what? That's not real?
Yeah, there's
Did
a
you
wide,
still thought?
Still believe?
Okay, good. There's a wide variety, some that won't surprise you. For instance, from Liv, the dumbest thing I believed as a kid was that if you swallow your gum, it'll get stuck to your heart. There are variations of that. A lot of people...
Stuck you know, to your heart?
A lot of people believe it just, you know, sticks in your stomach for years.
Right.
Dumbest thing I believed as a kid was that cooties are real and that you can die from playing with your belly button.
That's true.
Well, did somebody say don't play with your belly button, you'll die?
I don't know, but the cootie thing, it could be real, right?
It could be real.
You catch something from a dude, you
dumbest,
could die.
That is a sort of thing. Dumbest thing I believed, I grew up in Boston, and I thought the line down the middle of the street was the equator.
Wow. Boston, people from Boston are dumb.
Well, obviously, that goes without saying.
I love this one. My mother's back problems were a result of my careless sidewalk crack stepping.
Well, we've all been told, right?
Yeah, step on a crack, you break mama's back.
I love Viking. When I was a kid, I thought that you had to marry someone with the same last name as you. Now, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because married people always have the same, almost always have the same last name.
True.
So that must be how it worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be taking your calls, by the way, if you want to share with us something that you believed as a kid. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go around the room a little bit. Kevin, how about you? What did you believe as a kid?
I don't have any that were dumb.
You believe dumb things now as an adult. How did you not believe dumb things as a kid?
I mean, I don't remember them then. I assume I had more than any of you, but I just don't remember any of that.
Okay.
Allie,
right.
Let's go to you.
I used to think when I would be watching Saturday morning cartoons that if I had to go to the bathroom, you just turn the TV off, go to the bathroom, come back, and it's still on at that same place. That it was just a pause button as a kid. We didn't have DVRs way back then.
Okay, I've never believed anything that dumb.
Okay. I also believed, because my mother told me, that when you hear the ice cream truck... the music playing, that means they're out of ice cream.
That's the opposite of what's true.
Yeah, but you know what? She saved herself about $2 a week.
Right?
Cheap ass.
She told you that they were out of ice cream, so you wouldn't go out and try to buy ice cream.
Because you'd hear that
Why would they keep driving
so
around then?
Just to let you kids know we ain't got nothing.
That is fantastic. That's very smart of your mom.
Yeah, that is very smart.
Yeah.
How about you, Muggs?
So, kind of like Allie's pause button thing, when I put my Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters movie, VHS in the VHS machine, I thought the actors were somewhere not like doing whatever, and they'd get a little red light that goes off in whatever room they're in saying, oh, someone... I'm putting in the DVD or the VHS.
Somebody wants to watch.
Somebody wants to watch. Places, everybody. So I thought it was acted out live as I was watching it on
VHS. So the actors and actresses were standing around not doing anything, but were together just in case. And then when you want to watch, they all took their places and started.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I would bet.
That's exceptional.
Look, if you're a little kid and you only know about the real world, I would bet in your mind it makes sense. That those people are real, too. Just like the people on the radio, if you hear somebody talking, there must be somebody somewhere talking live at that time. It's a learned experience that things can be recorded.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sure.
When you're young enough, that makes sense. But Muggs believed this until 2 years ago.
Right? That's the weird thing.
That's what scares me about this. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Dumbest thing you believed as a kid. Why don't we start with David? He's in Bellflower. He is on line one.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller.
Thank you. Wow. This is the topic that finally got you to the phone. Amazing. What do you have to share for us, sir?
Growing up as a kid, like, you watched a lot of cartoons and stuff like that on TV. I watched a lot of I Love Lucy and a lot of black and white TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured out, like, I was thinking back then, like, I would, you know, back then people would not see color. Like, I would watch TV and be like, maybe back then they didn't see color. What's going on?
Like, the world was black and white back then.
The world was black and white back then. That's what I believe.
Interesting.
Perfectly reasonable.
That makes sense.
And I'm going to tell you something here, David. And I didn't believe that I remember, but I was watching a show the other day, and they had President Kennedy on the show in color. And it was so shocking to me, because I never think about President Kennedy as being a person who lived on the earth in color, although, of course, he was, because I've only ever seen him in black and white before. So I totally get where you're coming from. I'm as dumb as you were as a kid. I'm that dumb now.
Impressive.
All right. Thank you very much. 1-800-520-1067. Dumbest thing you believed as a kid? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right. Just ahead of Portugal the Man, let's take a phone call. We're talking about stupid things. What?
How loud was that?
It's pretty loud. Stupid things you believed as a kid. Let's go to Jill.
I believe the music was going to be lower.
It was pretty loud. Hey, Jill.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Good. So what I used to believe as a kid was that when a family moved, they had to switch places with a different family. So they had to like each other's houses in order to move.
That makes sense, because how can one person move? Where's the other person supposed to go? Sure.
That would be so hard.
That really? Would be very difficult, right. Wouldn't it? That's a great call. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin says, I believe that if you ate your boogers, they were in a special spot and the doctor would know and see the pile of boogers and know that you ate boogers.
Kevin.
You never
That's
said
not true.
That.
I love this topic, you guys. Dumb things you believed as a kid. Let me hit you with a couple, then we'll go back to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. From the 818, my best friend's mom used to tell her that Kraft singles were really expensive cheese because she didn't want her kids eating crap processed food. My friend didn't find out until a slumber party when she was 16. There was a giant stack of Kraft singles on the table. She got all excited because they had the fancy cheese. Not the case at all.
Love it.
From the 925, a cousin told me that a dog's butthole was where it heard from. So I totally tried to talk to a few dogs that way before I was told otherwise.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
John says, when I was a kid, I believed that Mount Rushmore was a natural occurrence.
Wow.
Because the wind just kind of made those presidents' faces.
Right.
One more from Scott. When I was in kindergarten, I believed that the cars just sat on the road and that God was pulling the road under your car until you reached your destination. That's very cooperative of God,
right?
I think. And how does he make everybody go in different directions at the same time? I guess he's just being all God and whatnot, right?
All right. Let's say good morning to Kat in Orange. Hi, Kat.
Hi, how are you?
We are good. Thank you. Dumb things you believed as a kid.
So when I was a kid, I believed that somehow sharks could get into my swimming pool through, like, the pipes and drains. So I was deathly afraid. If I saw a shadow, I would just swim out as fast as I possibly could.
Sure. How did you feel about alligators coming up through your toilet?
Oh, my God. I did not ever think about that one, but that's pretty scary.
Now she's going to be frightened of that one for a while.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Hey, it could happen, Kat. I'm just saying it could happen. Let's try. Let's go to Denver, Colorado, please. Line 7. Hugo, streaming us online here this morning. Hugo, what's the dumb thing you believed as a kid?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I believed that the weathermen that gave us the hot weather, I thought they controlled the weather themselves.
So you're mad at them. You're like, come on, make it cooler.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that until I was, like, you know, a young teen.
So you were what?
A young teen.
A young teen.
Well, you know, yes. You see a lot of weathermen, they say, hey, don't blame the messenger. You know, if the weather's really bad, really cold or snowy or really hot, they're like, look, it's not my fault. I'm just telling you what it is. But I think a lot of people do blame the weathermen, so that makes sense. Thank you, Hugo. Let's go to Sarah, line 5, please. North Hollywood up next, talking about dumb things you believed as a kid. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
What do you have for us?
Basically, when we were kids, my brother and I, my mom used to tell us that the hazard light button in her car was an ejector seat for bad kids.
That's amazing.
You don't want to hit that button. That's great. I love it. Thank you, Sarah.
Awesome.
Let's try Kayla, line 4. Kayla is in Santa Ana. She apparently was dumb as a kid, too.
Hey, Kayla.
Hi. I had a friend tell me when I was 5 that his sister swallowed a watermelon seed. It grew in her stomach, and a vine came out of her mouth. So
yeah, that's true. That did
that is true. That is true. That's a true one.
Yeah.
I was pretty terrified to swallow watermelon seeds after that.
I'm sure. Yeah, don't let anyone tell you anything otherwise. That's absolutely true. Thank you, Kayla. All right, Allie, you're going to like Cliff on line two. Now, what was your what did your mom tell you about ice cream trucks?
That they only played the music when they were out of ice cream.
And that was to stop you from going out and trying to buy some ice cream.
Right.
All right, Cliff, what did your mom tell you, or what did you think anyway was going on with ice cream men?
She told us that he only ever played music. So he just drove around playing music for all the kids.
But there was no
ice
cream?
There was no ice cream?
No ice cream whatsoever. We didn't find that out until one summer when my uncle ruined it for my parents.
It was just a creep driving around playing music for kids?
And the worst type of music? This is awesome because most of these calls involve parents telling them something.
Yes.
Misleading them on purpose.
That's
great. Thank you, Cliff. I'm now terrified about that ejector seat in the car, by the way. That one's scary. All right, let's try. We've got so many good ones. Let's try Brandy Glendale line one next, if we could.
Hey,
hi.
Brandy.
Hey, so long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is
nice.
What got me to...
Thank you.
That's great.
This is what got me to call. When I was young, I thought the only way that you could get a cold and to give it back was to catch it. So I thought it was invisible germs that were just kind of passed from person to person. And that's how you got over a cold, was that you gave it to someone else.
Oh, you passed it along to somebody else on purpose, as if you could control it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because you didn't want to catch the cold, right? So I was like, mm-hmm. I don't want to catch the cold. And I didn't know how to do it, but I just knew that we caught colds, and then you must have given it to someone else. That's how you got over it.
I mean, in a way, you kind of have, but you don't have much control over. But that's I see where you got that. Thank you, Brandy. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Ross, Los Angeles, line five up next.
Hey, Ross.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good, thank you. Good morning. We're talking about dumb things you believed as a kid.
Yeah, true. So back in the mid-70s, the Planet of the Apes, the original, came out. And so I actually see the trailers, you know, Planet of the Apes are trying to take over. And at the same time, in Africa, in Angola, they had the rebel forces, which they call the guerrillas, were taken over. So I actually hear on the radio, the government forces are fighting against the guerrillas, and they killed so many people. And I used to hide underneath my bed thinking, oh, my God, this thing is true.
I mean, it's a different gorilla, but when you're a little fantastic kid, I don't know that.
That's right, yeah.
Have you come out from under the bed, or are we cool now? Is everything good?
Yeah, finally, that's good.
All right, great way to leave it. Thank you, Russ. I think I want a job where you're in Singapore one day and you're in Hong Kong the next.
Same.
How about you guys?
All right.
I mean, that sounds like, although there may be a lot of work involved. Hey, Mike Shinoda.
Hi there.
Hey, is it fun to have a job where you're in Singapore one day and Hong Kong the next, or is it a pain in the ass to try to keep everything straight?
I don't even know. I've only been here for 2 days in Hong Kong, and I didn't come from Singapore. I came from L.A. here, and then I'm going to Bangkok tomorrow. I'm still kind of on L.A. time.
Uh-oh.
Bad jet lag. I had a show tonight, so I literally don't know what time it is. I'm going to basically talk to you guys and go straight to sleep.
Do you have? We're sorry to keep you from your bed. That sucks. Do you work
much better than being in LA? Because usually I don't wake up early enough to call in.
Oh, that's true.
I'm
yeah.
like super groggy and like don't know what I'm talking about. So this is the other extreme.
Do you build in any time to see the cities that you're in, or you just do your show and keep moving?
Yeah, usually I do like to actually go out and sightsee. On this one, it's been a lot of tour prep. This is the beginning of a solo tour, going through Asia and Europe, and then taking a break at home, and then starting a U.S. leg. So this was actually tonight in Hong Kong was the first night of the whole tour.
Oh, wow. Cool. How'd it go?
How was it?
It was good. I mean, I have to tell you, like, we actually had, I had a huge scare during sound check. I brought on a drummer and a keyboard guitarist, backup vocalist. He's like I basically said, I need somebody who does what I do.
Right.
I need another me on stage.
Right.
So I brought in two new guys, and they, like, you know, we've been rehearsing and trying to, like, kind of scramble to get them ready. and we had a sound check before show tonight. And there was some kind of like funky, I mean, they have different power supplies in Hong Kong than they do in the States. So all our gear is U.S. power. And so, and we literally blew up three keyboards.
Oh, no.
We blew up three keyboards and some guitar gear before the show. And I was like pretty convinced that we were just not going to be able to play the show. ended up being able to sort through it and fix everything and get it ready for show. And I had to improvise a little bit, but it worked out fine.
This is the voice of our friend Mike Shinoda here on the Kevin Beach Show. We'll talk all about the tour and give you the information on how to buy your tickets for the upcoming Southern California dates. When you put a set list together for this solo tour, are you drawing from your album, from Fort Minor, from Linkin Park? Are you doing a little bit of everything, Mike?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I always think of it in terms of like if I was the one coming to the show, what would I want to see? What would I expect? It's evolving over time. So I don't know if the show that I'm playing this week will be the same that I play in LA, but at this point I am playing a pretty even mix of those three things you mentioned.
Does it scare you a little bit that you don't have the answer to what's going to happen a month from now?
We've kind of talked about this before. I feel like I'm on. It's more about enjoying the journey, you know. Like I don't know where any of this stuff leads, and if you know, by the time I get to, when do I get to LA? In the beginning of November, by then it could be, like I said, like the exact same set list. It could be everything is different. I don't know, and I'm actually enjoying that part of it. It's the unpredictable nature of being a solo artist is kind of fun. There's a level of spontaneity,
mm-hmm. right?
That if you're in a band, especially if you're in a band and you've known everybody for ages, in Linkin Park case, there's a mutual respect and there's an understanding about what some guys prefer about this or that, and so when it comes to if we're in the middle of a show and I feel like, oh, I really would love to just kind of go left here and play a different song that we don't usually play, I had five other guys that, you know, maybe they weren't rehearsed on that song, or maybe they don't like remember how to play that song, so you couldn't really do it. But as it is with this thing, you know, I'm the only one that really needs to know how to play the song. Like if I decide to do something different or do something, you know, off menu, then I can kind of just do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you care so little about your hired hands, you tried to electrocute them. I mean, what the hell do you care? You just replace them.
Yeah. I think it was the other way around, actually. I think that they're lashing out at me.
Oh, okay.
Lashing out at me for not, I'm not sticking to the script in there. They're trying to get rid of me.
Mm. All right, let me give out the information here for folks who have not yet heard the announcement of the Monster Energy Outbreak Tour presents Mike Shinoda with two Southern California dates.
What a name, right?
Friday, November 2nd at the Hollywood Palladium. Monday, November 5th at the House of Blues, Anaheim. Tickets go on sale to the public this Friday at 10 a.m. But, like we do, there is a K-Rock pre-sale. Go to krock.com and sign up for the K-Rock Street Team. You'll get a password. You'll be able to get involved in the exclusive pre-sale before they go on sale to the public on Friday. I'm not allowed to say exactly when, but if you go to krock.com, you can get that information. That is going to be fun having you back in town. All right, before we let you go to bed, Mike, I want to ask, let's poll the room here.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Is Mike a pajamas guy, t-shirt and boxers guy, or is he sleeping buck naked? What do you guys think? As he hangs up this phone and crawls into bed, what's Mike going to be sporting?
He definitely has a t-shirt and boxers on.
T-shirt and boxers. Mm-hmm. Kevin, what do you say?
I feel like the same. That's what I thought, too.
Oh, I think Mike is a sexy beast.
What are we basing this?
We don't know.
It's who you are. It's just who you are, Mike.
You are. T-shirt boxers guys. Is this like you kind of thing, or what?
I'm a pajamas guy. I'm a full on pajamas guy every night.
Bean wears a onesie.
I'm going to say that Mike is young and vital and sexy, and he is going buck naked. I'm saying Mike is throwing it all on the carpet and getting into bed naked.
Bean is picturing Mike naked.
I'm picturing Mike naked right now. What's the answer, Mike?
Yeah, I know. I can't answer it now. Now, it's too much fun to let you guys guess.
Yeah, it's odd that we're guessing. I have to be honest.
So I made it weird.
I own all of those things that you just mentioned.
Ah, right?
I own nudity.
Okay.
I do own a pair of footy pajama head to toe.
Sweet.
They're actually dinosaur PJs.
Sweet.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, they're green. They have dinosaurs on.
All right.
Go on.
Yeah. So anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
All right.
KRock.com for all the information on the presale.
After this conversation, normally I might not go footy pajamas, but after this conversation, I'm definitely.
You feel like you should. Yeah.
Understood.
Snuggle
gotcha.
Up.
Yeah. I've been inspired.
Sorry it got so creepy.
It really did.
It's how we do, Mike. November 2nd at the Hollywood Palladium, November 5th at the House of Blues.
I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be away until – I feel like I'm going to be away until November 2nd when I come to the Palladium. So hopefully I'll see you guys then.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Sounds great, Mike. Get some sleep. We'll talk to you again, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Congratulations to Molly Cochran from Redondo Beach. Won her passes to see Bishop Briggs in the HD Radio Sound Space this Friday. Your chance to win coming up throughout the day here on K-Rock and throughout the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be a lot of fun to have her in.
Oh, man. She's a spaz in the best sense of the word.
She's so fun.
Yeah.
And so is Stryker, by the way, and he's going to be hosting. So if you want to be there in person to see Miss Bishop Briggs, keep on listening to K-Rock. Allie's here. Time for What's Happening at 8:53.
Well, a couple weeks we found out that the Brady Bunch house was for sale. Right? We were...
I don't know how much room I have for Brady House talk.
There's a lot. A
I
lot
mean,
more.
Every day.
There's a lot. Yes. Yeah, so this house in Studio City is for sale. It's only the facade of the house, not the inside of the house. Yada, yada. Great. Then we find out over the weekend, Lance Bass from NSYNC has the winning bid. He has bought the Brady Bunch house. Awesome. Great. Everything's wonderful. He has people over, has a little party, celebrating. Then he winds up tweeting on Sunday that he's heartbroken. He gets a call saying that he has been outbid from some studio.
Hmm.
They swooped in, he thinks, when it was all done.
Yeah, that seems bad
all
right there.
All of it seems just sketchy. Nobody knows the exact time frame. But he was heartbroken because he couldn't compete with the big studio's money, blah, blah, blah.
Did he cry?
Yeah, it's on, unfortunately.
I heard you.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit.
We now know who that studio is.
Okay.
Discovery Inc.'s HGTV network has won the bidding for the Brady Bunch house. Discovery CEO David Zasloff says, I'm excited to share that HGTV is the winning bidder and will restore the Brady Bunch home to its 1970s glory as only HGTV can. Here's the thing. They said that they're going to be bringing all the resources to do fun stories with this beloved piece of American TV history. So they'll restore the inside to whatever it looked like in the 70s, even though it's not the house that they shot from on the inside.
But they're going to try to make it look like the soundstage that they shot the Brady Bunch on. Okay.
Here's my major concern.
Okay.
It's very upsetting, you guys. During today's earnings conference call, the CEO joked that they were going to move CFO Gunnar Weidenfeld into the attic if the company doesn't make their financial goals. Quote, if we do not meet these targets, we're going to move Gunnar into Greg's bedroom in the attic of the Brady Bunch house. Here's where my problem comes in.
Uh-oh.
And that was not a fun place to be. It didn't have a door. There were beads, if you remember. No, sir, I do remember. There was a door to the attic. It was downstairs. There was a stairway leading up to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking of when Greg moved into the den, into Mike's office downstairs, and he wanted to really make it all far out and wow, so we put beads up as the door to that room. These are totally different areas of the house, sir. I am concerned how they're going to restore it back to that house when they don't even know the layout.
I think this is the most angry.
I mean, what are you doing? Granted, he might have been confused because there were beads upstairs in the attic. If you watch the one where he stole the goat from the opposing
school. Maybe you care
school.
Too much about this.
But there is a door to the attic.
Right.
And then a stairway leading up to the room.
Right.
I feel like he should know that.
I think you need to be a consultant on this transformation.
That is what I am leading to. If Discovery CEO David Zaslav would reach out to me, mm-hmm. I can help you. I can help you with all of this. I would love to.
Why have you memorized the floor plan of the Brady Bunch house from the 1970s?
Well, that's a great
question.
First
of all, because when he did move into the den slash Mike's office and he had the beads up, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And that's all I wanted was a room with beads. And then I thought, oh, no. Later on, when he moved up to the attic, it was so separate from the house. I mean, he kept a goat up there and nobody knew. They'd listen to
less...
the vents. They could hear the goats. And then
I know less about where my parents lived throughout the years. That you know about where Greg Brady was in that house.
What's the point of this story?
I loved Greg. You know who would agree with me on all this? Ted Stryker.
You should call him.
And do less of it on our show. He's available by phone.
All right, I'll call you Stryker. So MoviePass announced yesterday that they are going to keep their prices at $9.95 per month rather than raise them to $14.95 as planned just a week ago. But the company is making some changes to the service in an effort to stabilize the business. Starting on August 15th, MoviePass subscribers will be transitioning into a new plan where they can see up to 3 movies a month for $9.95. And then there will be up to a $5 discount for any additional movie tickets.
Okay.
And, of course, that could change tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
Because it just keeps changing.
Don't see movies. Don't like them. Never have. Don't like the art form.
Right? I find that odd. And scary situation for Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons. Concert on Saturday, he actually had to ask the people in Houston to sing the words to the songs because he had zero voice.
Mm.
He couldn't figure it out what was going on, but it actually wound up being a really unique experience because they would sing and then he would tell stories about the songs. He would tell,
so
like,
that song I wrote one time when I was at home.
He had a speaking voice.
I wasn't sure what to do, I called my sister and she came.
You know what this sounds like, Allie? We did a story not long ago, or maybe it was off the air, we talked about how Meatloaf can't sing anymore. So he's hired somebody else to sing his songs, and he's going on the road with them, and he tells the stories, and then somebody else sings the song.
Really?
Sounds like kind of what Dan was doing with the audience.
Well, Dan did not do it on purpose, and he wound up saying, Houston, I'm so sorry for tonight. I thought I could sing through the sickness, but I could not, and you sang for me. Thank you with all my heart. Turns out he then went to a doctor and found out that one of his vocal cords wasn't moving for an unknown reason. And he said, I literally thought my career was over. The doctor said it could be stress-related, but I didn't know. So they're looking at his vocal cords.
Wow.
It's not vibrating to make the sound when you sing. How terrifying.
I think that's a virus, usually, when something like that happens, when your throat shuts down like that.
Really?
Can it be permanent? Because it seems like that's what he was afraid of.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Of course.
Turns out, everything is fine now because he went on to do a concert in New Orleans and he said, my vocal cord vibrated and I could sing again and I feel so happy I could cry forever. Well, don't cry.
Your voice
cry
is like
forever.
A combination of Fergie and Jesus.
I have said that for years about Dan Reynolds. So we're very happy that he is able to sing.
Agreed.
Maybe leave that Thunder song out of... That I think that's what's doing it, because he does thunder. Maybe that's what made
it's too hard on
his
vocal cord.
Yeah, hard on the vocal cord. Leave it out, please. Mike Trout, happy birthday. Michael Shannon, happy birthday. Tobin Bell, Charlize Theron, and David Duchovny. That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
All right, Allie, time to get enough altitude to get us off the boat. Do like we do.
That's
bring it home.
A lot of pressure.
Right?
A lot of pressure right there. Hey, if you guys missed it, earlier in the show, we talked about how when we were in Vegas for the Built This Pool party at Planet Hollywood, Christine was tasked with a very difficult job, to wax beer mugs back.
Yeah.
And we did a little live video this morning on Instagram, but we have also posted what I filmed and what Christine did in Vegas.
Okay.
If you go to at Kevin and Bean on Instagram, I'm going to tell you it's worth it just to see basically what is now going to be Christine's side hustle.
You think so?
She's so good at this. She works wonders on the bush that is beer mugs back. I'm just saying, feel free to reach out to her on Instagram. She's tagged right in it. If you need anything done.
Not only am I on my back, by the way.
All right.
Well said.
Yep.
All right. Moving right along. Well, this is interesting. A posthumous single from Avicii could be on the way. This is after one of the late DJ's closest collaborators confirmed that he's working on material that was unfinished at the time of his death. His longtime collaborator, Carl Falk, words are hard,
right?
Revealed that he's finished a version of Heaven, which features the vocals of Coldplay's Chris Martin.
Interesting.
Yeah, and from the wording of his post, it sounds like there are even more songs to come. Here's what he said. Yesterday was a strange and emotional day in many ways trying to finish these songs. It's not the same producing without you by my side. I missed you hanging over my shoulder, doubting every little thing and detail in the song. And according to a Swedish website, Avicii left behind nearly 200 unfinished tracks at the time of his death.
He's going to be releasing songs for 20 years.
Sounds like there's a lot more to come. So I'm ready to hear anything that Avicii's doing with Chris Martin. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Yes. And if you missed it, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in a little bit of hot water for posting some pictures of his family at the Georgia Aquarium. He posted about all the different sea creatures, and he even gave a shout-out to the people working there, saying they were gracious and kind and informative, and saying they had a blast. And then another post had him joking that he wanted to cast a beluga whale as his next co-star, and people got really upset, chiming in, fuming, this animal just needs to be back in the ocean, while others told him to, quote, stop spreading propaganda on animal abuse. That dolphin right there weighed in. I don't think he really was going to cast, though, that beluga whale.
Right.
I think.
I think that may have been a joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And something Kevin is not interested in at all. But it might interest other people out there because you think of the different people that have their different residencies in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You had, of course, Celine Dion still, right? Britney Spears. The Who. Blink-182 is going to get back to it now that Travis is feeling better.
And Santana. Now,
Santana.
Backstreet Boys.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, everybody.
I mean, the list goes on. Now you can add Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga!
Her name to the list. She is going to be setting up shop in Las Vegas for an expansive multi-date residency. She'll be hitting the stage at the MGM Park Theater beginning in late December. But she's going to do two separate shows, so you have your choice. The first, Lady Gaga Enigma. It's a brand new odyssey of her pop hits built as an experience unlike any other. So it's essentially her hits, that type of thing, done probably to a huge stage show. So if you haven't seen Lady Gaga, you're going to be like, ooh, this is awesome. But if you're into maybe a more stripped-down version of Lady Gaga, there are only four dates so far to this show, but it is Lady Gaga Jazz and Piano, featuring stripped-down versions of her hits as well as music from the Great American Songbook.
Yay!
Kevin was not interested in that at all.
Is there still alcohol and gambling available?
There are still.
In Vegas?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can take an hour and a half off and go see a great vocalist sing great songs.
No.
Her behind a piano is some of the most stunning, beautiful work ever. She's phenomenal.
You've seen her when she's enjoy. Made appearances like on the Grammys or something.
You enjoy
she's
that.
She's gone out there just playing the piano.
You enjoy that too, Bean.
She's
Why
captivated.
Don't you
want to
come with Bean and I?
We're going, Kevin.
We're going. With us.
Bean's going nowhere.
We're
going
to get all dressed up and on out to the theater. This residency is set to stretch across 2 years. A fan presale starts tomorrow. Public on sale following on Monday the 13th.
Why does Kevin hate
Lady Gaga?
That's a good question.
Well done. Well done.
She's super talented, Kevin.
Agreed.
Why don't you like her?
I didn't say I didn't like her.
Why won't you see her?
I don't want to see her acoustic singing American songbook songs. I'm sure that's what it's called.
You put it like that.
I'm not sure I want to either.
You just ruined it for all of us.
Scratch off pre-sale. All right. And if you missed it yesterday, my great news was about Ludacris, who wound up paying for a woman's whole grocery cart at Whole Foods in, I believe it was Atlanta. And she was down on her luck. He had no idea about any of this, but he wound up paying for all her groceries because some of her groceries got mixed in with his. And he's like, I'll just pay for all of it. And total angel to this woman because she was, like I said, really down on her luck. She wound up crying, hugging him, asked him his name. He said, Chris. And then he left. She still had no idea who he was. And then the person ringing her up said, yeah, that angel, by the way, is the rapper Ludacris. And it became just this lovely story of a man that just did something kind, paying
really
it
nice.
Forward. And now we turn to this substitute teacher in New Jersey doing something kind, paying it forward for a guy who was down and out, couldn't pay for his gas station food, ended up footing the bill for this man in a New Jersey Wawa. Wawa, that's the store. He thanked her. And she said, what's your name? And he said, Keith. And she said, oh, you kind of look like Keith Urban. And he's like, yeah, that is me. So this man that she thought she was just doing something kind for, down on his luck, was, you know, this huge country star that just walked into a Wawa for snacks and didn't have money.
No money. Well,
what's happening?
Multi-millionaire, too, by the way. Married to a multi-millionaire also.
Yes, married to Nicole Kidman. I'm thinking maybe... you check your wallet before you head on in, no?
I would think so, yeah.
It's all a very interesting story.
Country music sucks.
I mean, take it from Cartman right there. Some birthdays
or
for you.
Or Bart, either one.
Oh, was that Bart Simpson? My God, I thought it was Cartman from South Park. That was real dumb because it wasn't at all.
No, it was a different.
Hey, Muggs, what are you doing later?
Why, Allie?
I didn't ask you at the beginning because you usually tease your thing.
I'm glad you asked, Allie. Today is stop number 10 of our K-Rock Gorilla sticker tour at Hot Topic. We're going to be at 1065 Brea Mall in Brea. We're going to have System of a Down tickets,
nice.
More tickets to Demon Days. I'll have T-shirts. Come hang out. Get me an Orange Julius or something.
Why do so people always have to bring you stuff?
Why don't you give them an Orange Julius? What's happening?
Because I'm broke.
Hot Topic in Brea at the Brea Mall today from 1 till 3 for Beer Mug. Don't forget, you can stop at any Southern California Hot Topic location to pick up the new limited edition K-Rock Gorillas sticker, and then you'll be eligible to win the show for you and your friends to see the band, and also a 2019 Honda Fit and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Details at krock.com.
It's too much for one person.
It sure is.
Yeah, a lot. Happy birthday to the following: David Duchovny, Charlize Theron, Tobin Bell. Just one more.
Come on,
Kevin, one more.
Do you want to play a game?
Now, Tobin Bell is Elf.
Do you want to play a game, Willie?
Yeah! Kevin! Why didn't you go into voice acting? It's amazing. Happy birthday to Michael Shannon, and happy birthday to Angels outfielder Mike Trout, who, by the way, Mike Trout is going to be able to see something magical tonight at the game against the Detroit Tigers.
Are we positive it's going to be magical?
It's going to be magical because friend of the show, comedian Brad Williams, is throwing out the first pitch tonight. Did you give him any pointers?
I said it. I usually find it's helpful to fall.
Oh, no.
That's what I texted.
You know, I don't mean to be negative in any way, but a little person, little brain.
I don't think that's what we're saying at
that's
all.
That's not what we're
saying at
all.
Good luck, Brad Williams.
That's what we
do. Us all proud, right over the plate. Or near it.
Or in the dirt.
Just don't fall. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, and your drive home tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. He's the champion of the World Arm Wrestling League. Are you with me, girls?
Why, girls?
I don't know. Are you with me, fellas? Did you guys know that was a thing? There's an arm wrestling league that's a championship.
And the extent to which I am familiar with arm wrestling starts and ends with the Sylvester Stallone movie.
Where he was arm wrestling for custody of his kid.
Yes. Yep.
That happened.
That was a thing. We got a scientific survey for tomorrow. We're going to talk to Doto, the international man of mystery. And we've got your passes to see Bishop Briggs at the HD Radio Sound Space as well tomorrow morning.